Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We bring in Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, Tennessee, now they did what they had to do, I guess, against UTEP and got out of there and got the win and all that. But do you look at these last two games, UTEP and ETSU before that, and say, okay, this is what this team is, or can they, you know, find another gear and be more efficient as they get into these conference games starting with Florida this week?
I hope they can find another gear. If they can't, they're in trouble. They need to play better. And that's the head coach. He acknowledged afterward when somebody asked him if you're ready for SEC play. He said, we have no choice, but he said, are we ready basically to take on the challenge of playing a team like Florida? He said, not when you have that many penalties, not when you have that many turnovers. And so Tennessee has got to play a cleaner game. To get 24 points against UTEP, it really is pretty embarrassing. UNLV scored 42. And in UNLV's first eight possessions against UTEP, had six touchdowns and a field goal. Tennessee in the first half with six possessions had a touchdown and a field goal. They just weren't very sharp. And it was almost like a team that they routed ETSU and thought, well, we can just show up and go through the motions. They did not practice well, did not play well. That kind of performance would get them beat by Florida.
How encouraging was it the way Ty Chandler ran the ball, especially in that 81-yard touchdown to start the second half?
Yeah, very. I think Ty Chandler is their best running back. I thought that going into the season. I think he underscored that. I think he's a really good football player. I remember watching a run against ETSU where I was sitting next to Josh Ward with our radio station. I said, you know, I think Ty Chandler would have scored on that run. Very similar run against UTEP, and he did score. He is the home run threat. He's the playmaker that they need in the backfield. He needs to get more touches. I get trying to play four running backs, and that's okay against some teams, but I think when you play Florida, you need to get Ty Chandler at least 20 carries.
On the flip side, UTEP's passing game wasn't great, but the Tennessee defense, Jimmy, I thought they did what they had to do. What did you think of that group Saturday?
They did. Now, UTEP is a really bad passing team, and I think they were, 9 out of 23 for 39 yards? But the secondary was in position most of the time. I thought that there were a couple of times, one on a wheel route, one on another deep route, where a decent passer would have burned them, but they didn't. But to give up 39 yards, I mean, that's pretty good even against a scout team. Well, maybe UTEP was a scout team. I don't know. But I think that is pretty good. Another number to underscore for you, if you take out one half of West Virginia, and that was the second half, Tennessee has allowed 4 of 32 third down conversions. Now, that's remarkable. It was like 2 out of 14 against UTEP, 2 out of 15 against ETSU, something like that, and 0 for 3 of the first half of West Virginia. They've been really good on third down defense except for the second half against West Virginia.
We're with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. And I guess, Jimmy, I guess the first thing I saw was Garantano. It seems like he's come a long way as far as his leadership from back in, you know, Georgia Tech game where he's pouting on the sideline to now showing leadership, yeah, having conversation with the backup quarterback and his teammates sitting on the bench and kind of directing them. Man, do you see all those things, or is that all for show?
No, I think he has matured a lot, and they needed him to mature a lot. And I'll say this, and this is conjecture on my part, but I do believe he was told against Georgia Tech last year he was going to play. And then when he didn't, I think you saw the pouting on the sideline. Coaches shouldn't have told him that if that's what they told him, and I think they did. But I think he's played really well. I think he's got a good live arm. I think he's been really accurate. He went downfield several times against UTEP, hit a couple of them. I think he's really good on his short passes and his intermediate passes, his quick hitches, his slant. He's got zip on it. He throws it with accuracy. I think he's come a long way. He's completing slightly over 70% of his passes. That's always a good figure. I think he's made a lot of improvement over last year.
Man, you know, one thing just looks really concerning, not just, you know, they just don't look sharp at times, but they just look sluggish and a little lethargic out there. They just don't look like they have that. It looks like they're not having fun. Maybe that's the part that I'm missing. It just sounds like they're just going about their business, and that's it, really. They're not enjoying themselves. Do you see this?
I think you could argue that against UTEP, yes. I thought they were lethargic. I don't know if a noon kickoff had anything to do with it. For UTEP, it was a 10 a.m. kickoff because they're on mountain time. But that might have contributed to it. The opponent might have contributed to it. The attendance was as low as I can ever remember at Neyland Stadium, except for maybe when they had a tornado coming through a few years back against Oregon. But, yeah, that's the attendance, or maybe it was Marshall. But anyway, the attendance was pretty bad. At kickoff, Blaine, there couldn't have been 50,000 people in the stands. The end of the first quarter, I would generously say maybe 55 or 60,000. Very small crowd. And I think that the players played that way. It won't be that way against Florida. I can tell you that in the student section, they have sold at least a couple thousand more than what their allotment is. And the allotment's 11,000. So I think it'll be a much different situation for Florida. But I agree with you. I think that they were lethargic. I think the fans were. The whole atmosphere was.
Wow. I guess Pruitt has a lot of experience versus Mullen. How does those, I guess, matchups looked over the years? At least the last 3 years, I think they face one another. Has Coach Pruitt talked about that?
Well, not yet. He will talk about that in his press conference today. He wasn't asked that post-game. Most of the conversation was about UTEP and going against Florida, not against Mullen so much. But they have faced – Alabama has faced Mississippi State. They have typically come out on top against Mississippi State. I know they have in recent years. And I'll say this, and this may sound crazy, but I think Mullen the last couple of years actually had – may have had more talent in Mississippi State than he's got right now in Florida. That doesn't seem right, does it?
That makes sense, right?
No, I take Nick Fitzgerald over Felipe Franks. I think that Mississippi State's had just better players. That Jeffrey Simmons and Martez Sweat at defensive line, they're better than any two of Florida's best players. So, I think this it'll be an interesting matchup to see him go against Mullen. I think Florida's still trying to find itself. I know that they had a nice win against Colorado State, but Florida's not nearly the team I thought it would be going into the season.
Jimmy, they did show them a lot of different personnel groupings, especially early in the game, the Wildcat and a few other things. That had to be done with Florida in mind, right?
I would think so. And I think they will use some of that against Florida. I think they need to pull out whatever stops they can. But I don't know that this offense is much different than what we have seen. There may be a trick play or two here. I mean, maybe they throw a halfback pass. I don't know. But I think what Tennessee's offense, what you saw in the first three games, is pretty much what you'll get when you play Florida. They just need to execute better. As far as turnovers, they've done a pretty good job until the UTEP game. You can't have a fumble on the one-foot line. Mm. You can't have penalties that take away touchdown runs, which they did against UTEP. But I don't expect Tennessee to have some explosion against Florida, but I do think they can get 24 points on them.
We saw some RPOs, a few RPOs. Do you think they'll use that more this Saturday too?
I do. And Garantano actually looked pretty quick on a couple of runs. Yeah. He had not shown much of that earlier. It almost reminded me of watching his high school tape when he was a dual threat. I thought he was a really nice runner in high school, and he had not shown that at Tennessee. But he looked a little quicker against UTEP. Maybe that was UTEP's defense. I don't know, but he certainly looked quicker. And I do think he's going to need to use his wheels a little bit. I know you could be cautious sometimes if you're not real comfortable with how many quarterbacks you got. But I think in a game like this, you got to play to win and bring out all the stops. So you may see Garantano running a little bit more often.
I thought collectively, Jimmy, the receivers looked good. And going into the season, we didn't know. We thought that maybe their receiving core was mediocre. But by and large, I think the receivers have done a pretty good job. I don't know what you think.
Well, Mark, I have two. Now, here's what's interesting. So going into the season, I really like the receivers because I like Callaway and Brandon Johnson led them in receptions a year ago, and Jordan Murphy had a good camp, and Juwan Jennings was coming back. And then, now we didn't get to see a lot of this, but then we kept hearing about drop balls. I'm like, good gracious, I thought this group was supposed to be really good. I think they've played well. There have been very few drops. I think they're blocking well on the edge. I think they're getting open. I think if Jennings can come back to form with Callaway, with Murphy, with Johnson, and then when you add the tight end, Dominic Wood Anderson, I think that's a nice collection of receivers for Garantano.
The other part of this is obviously, and I know you talked about it a little bit, is the offensive line. Now, Chance Hall was held out of the UTEP game. Do you think we see him Saturday, and where do we see him?
If he plays Saturday, he would likely play right guard. I don't think he's the player that he was. There was a lot of concern that he would ever play football again because of his knees. And in the first couple of games in which he had played, I didn't think he played very well. So I'm not expecting him to play a lot of snaps or to play him very efficiently. I just don't think he's the player that he was. I think Tennessee's hope going in to this season was that they could get 20 quality snaps a game out of Chance Hall. I think that's it. That's about all you can ask for, given the status of his knees. But whether he's back for Florida, I don't know. But even if he is, I'm not real optimistic he's going to be real effective.
We always talk about this for as long as I've been around here and covering Tennessee, and that is, do you think they held a significant amount of stuff back? Do you think we're going to see some stuff Saturday that we haven't seen before? And I know they've already played West Virginia. There is that hope that Tennessee has something better that we haven't seen. And I know you sort of addressed it now, but what are your thoughts on it?
Maybe a little bit on offense. Like I said, if they run a trick play, a halfback pass or something like that, maybe run Garantano a little bit on some zone read. They haven't used that hardly at all. Maybe some of that. I think there's a chance on defense they may even throw more things at them. I haven't seen them blitz that much. They blitz some, but not a lot. I think there are more varied looks on defense that Tennessee has been holding back than they have been in terms of what they've been doing on offense.
Like the play of the linebackers, Kirkland has been everything that everybody hoped. Batuli as well. What are your thoughts on that position group?
Strong. I think it's one of the best position groups Tennessee has. Corte Sapp did not play. I think he's a good linebacker. I think that Batuli did play well, as did Kirkland, as you pointed out. Batuli looks to be a little bit better pass rusher than I gave him credit for. And I think you might see Tennessee use him in that role a little bit more. Kirkland showed some speed a week ago when he had the interception, the pick six against ETSU. So I like where those two guys are with Sapp as the backup. I think they're strong at inside linebacker.
Well, Jimmy, I have to ask you. We saw Pruitt kind of get in the face of one of the players there. Did anybody ask him what that was all about and, in the discussions?
Well, if the player you're talking about is Marquez Callaway, I can tell you what it was about. It was about him not feeling a punt. That's the second week in a row Callaway has let a punt drop in front of him and then roll a good 10 or 15 yards, and that's not what Pruitt wants. And then Callaway had a bad day as a punt returner. He muffed one. He had a -6 on another return. He let a ball drop and roll back. I did see him chewing out Callaway on that particular situation.
Oh, I'm talking about, I think it was number 13. He grabbed his helmet. I want to say
it was DeAndre Johnson.
Yeah, D-line. Yeah.
That was 34. 30. Yeah, what happened on that play was that Tennessee didn't have enough men on the field. They had 10 on the field, and they had to call a timeout. DeAndre Johnson was supposed to go on the field. I believe it was for Darren Kirkland. I think Kirkland came out, and Johnson was supposed to go back in, and he did not. And I think that's where he got on Johnson about the not paying attention and being ready to go on the field at that point.
Jimmy, to finish up, a question about another SEC game. What did you think about LSU's win at Auburn, and kind of what does that tell you about the West Division race after you-know-who up at the top?
Well, it tells me I was wrong about LSU. I didn't think LSU would be very good this year. They've now beaten two top 10 teams in a season for the first time in 2011, and they did it in the first month of the year. I'm really impressed with LSU. Their defense is very good. Their offense under Joe Burrow is better. Burrow's not a great quarterback, but he's better than what they've been playing with in recent years. The running game is done okay. I was very impressed. They rallied. I think Auburn led 21-10, if I remember right.
They did.
And
yeah.
LSU rallied from that. They had a long touchdown pass. They made a stop when they needed to. They went down and kicked a field goal to win it. Very impressed with what LSU has done. Are they the biggest challenger to Alabama? I'm not sure yet. I know that Ole Miss is not, so we got that out of the way. But I think that probably in the West, LSU, Auburn, and I would still say Texas A&M would be the biggest challengers to Alabama. And Mississippi State, maybe.
Jimmy, we'll have plenty more coming up on Tennessee, Florida on Friday when we have you on our show. Thanks, as always. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.